Welcome to the show, sports fans. This is the Treasure Valley Prepcast on IdahoSports.com.
That's right. Welcome in. It is another edition of the Treasure Valley Prepcast on IdahoSports.com, presented by No Vape, Idaho Public Television's campaign to raise awareness about the dangers of youth vaping. Be smart. Don't start. We are here to talk the biggest stories from District 3, the Treasure Valley, week in, week out. My name is Brandon Bainey. We are joined by our Treasure Valley expert and with a little extra tint of red today. It's Logan Green. What's up, LG?
Gosh, did I wear my all NC State stuff today? That's weird. That's so weird. Oh, do I have my trusty glass bottle from 1983 just sitting here reminding me that times are good again? Oh, yeah. Do I have my little Wolfpack cow here sitting with me just smiling? Yeah, I do. All of Wolfpack Nation smiles as we win our first ACC championship in my life. Literally, my entire life, I've been waiting for this moment. My championship t-shirts are not here yet, but I bought just about every one that was out there. I bought them in multiple sizes in case I get fatter or skinnier. I bought multiple in the same size in case I rip one. I am, you know, or gets dirty when kid throws up on it. I've got all my bases covered because it might be another 37 years before that happens again. So I'm making sure. But yeah, so that's my, you know, personal fandom coming out right here. I've been a fan like my entire life. I had to watch all my friends growing up because I grew up in Durham, right where Duke is, and all my friends growing up with their champs t-shirts every other year, you know, Duke and Carolina, you know, and finally broke through, and man, it was awesome. And to do it against UNC, it just tastes so much better.
Yeah. So for those that aren't aware, Logan is a huge North Carolina State University diehard fan in all sports, the NC State Wolfpack. And of course, the men's basketball, the women's basketball team from NC State is awesome. Yeah. They've
been great for years. They are the standard.
Yes.
The men's team wishes they were the women's team. Yes.
Yes. So the men's basketball team basically went into the ACC tournament last week knowing that, hey, we got to run the table and win this thing just to get to the NCAA tournament. Otherwise, they weren't going to make it as an at-large team. And sure enough, they were the 10 seed, right? Or the 11.
They're an 11.
Yeah. 11 seed. Okay. They were the 11 seed. They took out Duke and Virginia and North Carolina on basically back-to-back-to-back nights to get it done.
If you look at it, there are five teams in the ACC that have won a national championship since 2000, right? And those were the five teams we knocked out on the road, right? Louisville's really bad recently, but knocked them out. Syracuse took them out. Duke took them out. Virginia took them out. And then Carolina. So those are all five programs that have won national championships over the last 20-ish years, right? And just got knocked out as we went along. So it was great. I'm still gloating about it. Anybody that talks to me for the next month is going to hear about it. And I've had lots of my Carolina friends, you know, say stuff like, "Well, congrats on your Super Bowl. You're not going to win anything in the tournament." And I'm like, I'm good with that. I don't care. I got this. It doesn't matter to me. If it comes there, but hey, I do not care. I got this. I'm going to wear my champion t-shirt that you don't have, and we're going to be the reigning champs for a full year. I'm good. So now do I hope we beat Texas Tech tomorrow? Heck yeah. We'll see what happens there. I don't know. That's a tough team. Anybody from the Big 12 is really good, but anyway, yeah, nobody needs to hear more of Logan Green's NC State rants, but you never know. Kimball Walker and UConn won five games in 5 days in their conference tournament a couple years ago, and they won the national championship. So
I will say, and again, we're not here to break down the bracket for March Madness, but there is a lot of opportunity for NC State. I'll put it that way. Texas Tech, good defense, struggled to score. You look at potentially Kentucky in the next round. Yeah. Kentucky, no problem scoring, but they also are like a sieve defensively, so they give up a lot of points. You're looking at maybe Marquette. They're banged up and injured, might be missing their best player, or at least have him at less than 100% Tyler Colic. And the same thing with Houston. At the top of the bracket, Houston has lost three significant players to season-ending injuries. You know, Duke is probably the team that you look at and go, they're probably the most complete and play well on both sides of the ball and are relatively healthy. And NC State just beat Duke. So I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying opportunity.
Yeah. It's, you know, what NC State is on a magical run and Houston is a number one seed. Where have I seen this before? This is weird. Has this occurred before? Oh yes, it has. But yeah, no, this is the best 2 days I think of the year, right? Best 2 weekdays of the year, this tomorrow and Friday when the first and second, the first rounds of the tournament. Those are my favorite. It is so much fun. It's so fun because somebody always gets beat. It happens every time. And you know, you look at all the experts, and that's where like we make our picks, right, for the tournaments and for games every week. And we are not right like all the time. And like you, Brandon, are in it more than anybody, right? And you miss games and I miss games and everybody misses games, right? And these experts go out and they make their picks, and you know, they've got all these one seeds in the finals. And we can sit here and say all the time, like, that's not what's gonna happen. But it's hard to like, it's just hard, you know, and because it's not what's going to happen. It's going to be up in the air. And I mean, we see that all the time in Idaho, right? Or, you know, with teams that make it to the finals, like with the 3A basketball tournament, right? We had a 2 and a 5 playing in the state championship. So it doesn't always go 1-2, even here in Idaho.
Yeah. And so speaking of basketball, we did have last weekend up in Coeur d'Alene, the 21st annual Idaho statewide all-star basketball games, a girls game and a boys game. Several athletes from the Treasure Valley were there. We want to highlight in particular, Sid Rodriguez from Hawaii. She of course is going on to a Division I university next year, Seattle U, the Red Hawks in the WAC, Seattle University. She won the 3-point contest over Case Why Not from Lapway. It was really fascinating, yeah. Logan, where basically there were 8 girls, there were 8 boys. We had a round where everybody shot for a minute. The top 2 boys and the top 2 girls advanced to the semifinals. And then there was a basically battle of the sexes, you know, male versus female co-ed final. So in the semifinals, Sid Rodriguez beats Riley Edlifson from Snake River. Case Why Not won his semifinal matchup. He made 30 out of 32 3-point shots in 1 minute.
It was 30 out of 32. I was thinking it was 30 out of 33.
Yeah, so I think it was even 32.
Better than I thought, and I thought it was crazy.
Yeah, and he made his first 17, and he was just gassed for the final round. Sid Rodriguez saw her opening and took it. They were tied 18-18 with like a second to go, and Sid Rodriguez got one more shot up and nailed it basically as time expired to win 19-18 in the finals. It was a well-earned 3-point shootout win for Sid Rodriguez from Hawaii.
Oh yeah, she was on fire. I mean, any of her rounds, she was just knocking them down. And it just like the net was moving the exact same. It was like somebody's been working on this, right? It wasn't like, oh, this one, you know, hit the rim, hit the backboard, did all this other funky stuff to go in. It was just boom, 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 boom. It's really fun to watch when players like that are really good just get a chance to just stand there and shoot, and you get to watch it. That I feel like it can be hard to see, you know, you see a player maybe score 12 points in a game, right? There's just not enough time. You got 5 other players on the court, and you know your leading scorer might have 12, and you say only 12, I know, air quotes, only 12, right? But when you see them just stand right there in that sort of competition where it is truly just them, and they, you can see how much their work has paid off, right? And you could see that with Sid. She was just draining as all the threes she was putting up. It was very fun to watch.
Yeah, she played well in the girls game as well. She was the second leading scorer on her team. And Addie Leibel from Bishop Kelly played really well in the girls contest also. And then on the boys' side of things, Logan, the boys game was kind of a blowout. It was a runaway. You had some interesting storylines this year. We went away from the traditional format. In the past, it's been Team Metro, which is basically District 3, versus Team Region, which is everywhere else. I think we're going to go back to that format next year, kind of a Treasure Valley versus Idaho format. But for this year, we had the coaches draft the players. And so what happened is Dan Waldeck of Coal Valley Christian was coaching one team, and the only player from Coal Valley Christian that came was on the opposing team, Eli Kingery. So he was coaching against right. his own guy. And then we had cousins, Cash Buse from Skyview and Cutter Buse from Melba. In years past, they would have been on the same team. They were on opposite teams this year. And boy, Cutter's team, and we had corporate sponsors for the teams this year instead mm-hmm. of Team Region and Team Metro. TeamIdahoSports.com didn't do too well. They got blown out by Team Domino's in that boys game.
Might as well just put us out there, Brandon. Might as right? well at that point put in two of the Idaho sports guys. Give us a crack at some three pointers.
For sure. But Cutter Buse did win MVP honors for the boys game. He did lead Team Domino's to the victory. He finished with, it was either 31 or 32 points. I can't remember, but he was.
I mean, I think anybody that was there was like, whoa, who's this kid? I mean, he was extremely impressive. He had a couple of alley-oops. He had two late alley-oops, both from Liam Campbell. And one where Liam went through his legs and then floated it up for Cutter, and he slammed it home. I'm working on making a video right now that'll go up that'll show some highlights from both the boys and the girls games and the three-point and dunk contest. But that might have been the dunk of the weekend. Even maybe better than the dunk contest. I'm not, I feel like with dunk contests, they're good. Like the dunks in live action, they're able to get it going more. Right. I don't know why, you know, like you would think, oh, if you've got nobody there, you should be able to throw down a great dunk, but it's just when it's in transition and in a rush, there's just something about being game speed and dunking versus dribbling it from the three-point line. And I thought that dunk was probably better than anything we saw in the dunk contest. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was really fun to watch. And so Cutter Buse was kind of the star of the weekend. He was in the three-point contest. He was in the dunk contest. Corey Simmons, the head basketball coach at North Idaho College, was like, boy, who's this kid? Where's Melba at? And he said, yeah, basically, exactly. Cutter's going to go serve a church mission in New Mexico. But Coach Simmons said, hey, when you get back in 2 years, you give me a call.
You call me. Yeah. And I mean, why wouldn't you, you know, why wouldn't you want that guy on your team? That's what's good about an event like this, right? Is guys that maybe play at a smaller school that aren't getting the same sort of recognition that somebody at a bigger school is. You see them play right on the court with everybody. And it doesn't matter. You know, I always hate that argument. You saw it with some other players around the state. Well, if they played at a bigger level, they wouldn't be as good. Well, you just threw Buse out there with a bunch of 5A guys, and he was the best player on the – I felt like he might have been the best player on the floor, at least in that game. He just was playing very, very good. And, yeah, I mean, why would you not want that guy on your team? If you're up there at NIC, why would you not?
Yep, it was a really fun weekend of basketball. Overall, Logan, in the chat, we have Max Oswald, who is a fantastic sports reporter and writer for the Bonner County Daily Bee up in Sandpoint. He says, Logan, nice hat. My dad went to NC State. I think he graduated 92. I've been to plenty of Wolfpack football and basketball games growing up. I've been wearing my gear this week as well. There you go.
Oh, good man. Oh, it's really funny. My grandpa went to NC State, and that's where I picked it up from. They had season tickets since like the 50s and forever. And it's funny. My great grandpa actually played basketball at Duke, but it was Trinity College then. It's a long time ago. So I think my grandpa was a little ostracized for being the red sheep. Right. And, yeah, I started going to games when I was, I don't know, 5 years old and started getting my own season tickets as soon, you know, they made me earn them, right? He was part of the Wolfpack Club. They had lifetime rights, whatever. They just added another seat. And I would come pick acorns off the ground or pick up pecans from the pecan tree, whatever it was to earn money to, you know, earn my ticket. So yeah, it's a special moment for anybody in Wolfpack Nation right now. It just, sorry, SEC, it means more when you really, you know, sit and wait for so long. So I'm glad to hear another state fan out here in Idaho. And if I ever see somebody with NC State stuff or even Carolina Panthers, my wife's like, oh no, oh no, oh no. Cause I'm like, Hey, me and you, we're going to be friends right now. We're going to be friends. And she's like, oh, don't do this. But every time it's like, I've been waiting for you. I kid, but yeah, that's awesome. Hey, thanks for chiming in. It's a great week.
Yeah, and Max does a great job up there at the Bonner County Daily Bee. He's always giving us all of the Sandpoint and Clark Fork and Priest River scores when they're finished at the end of the night, and we really appreciate that as well. So keep up the good work for sure. Okay, let's talk about Logan. Spring sports. Before we get to spring sports, though, if you're from Idaho and between 13 and 18 years old, enter the No Vape video contest to expose the shadowy commercial tobacco marketing tactics behind vaping. Just create and upload your 90-second vape bashing masterpiece, and you could win a portion of the more than $10,000 in prize money being awarded. Deadline to enter is April 1st. Winners will be announced May 1st. Raise your voice about the dangers of vaping and win big cash prizes from No Vape Idaho. Really cool.
Yeah, that's an awesome opportunity. They posted on their social media pages recently and we reshared it. I think the grand prize is a couple thousand dollars. So like if it's spring break right now, right? You still have 2.5 days of spring break left. If you're not doing anything, you might as well go out and try and make a video and win some money, right? And what else you got going on, right? If you're not, I'm sure there's kids out there traveling. Like we've got some baseball teams we'll talk about that are on the road for spring break. But yeah, if you're at home or not, you know, even you got two more weeks to get that done. Would love to see you enter that contest from No Vape.
Yep, for sure. Okay, Logan, spring sports breakdown. But first, the bromance continues. Max says he's also a Panthers fan.
Oh, yes.
Carolina Panthers.
Max, you're the man. Anytime. Oops, my Joe Vandal fell. I got my Panthers helmet right here. I got this is what else do you want? I got more. I got more stuff I can pull down. But he's a great man, Max. You know that this is a man of honor, that this is a man of much respect when he likes NC State and he likes the Panthers. Anything he's done in life can be forgiven because of those two choices, to be a state and a Panthers fan. It's a rough life. You guys, it was really funny. Paul was, you know, I was watching that NC State Virginia game I was watching it on my iPad while, you know, everybody else was working on Friday night at NIC getting everything ready. And Paul said something like, are you going to be able to handle it when they lose? And I'm like, my whole life has been this. It's no big deal for me. But then we obviously pulled it out. So, yeah. Anyways,
I feel like
Max,
let's
hang out sometime. Let's hang out sometime. And yeah,
I feel like
game, whatever. Yeah.
I feel like I'm on one of those infomercials, Logan, but wait, there's more.
But wait, there's more. Do you
also
like
go Hurricanes? Yes. I have tons of Hurricanes gear.
Oh,
Carolina
yes.
Hurricanes. Hockey.
That's in January. I went back and I took my son to a Hurricanes game and a Panthers game. It was great. And in NC State, we hit all three. We watched them beat Virginia. We watched the Hurricanes lose, and of course the Panthers lost. But the Hurricanes are rolling right now too. So it's really funny at the Hurricanes game. I'm sorry. This is derailing, Brandon. You shouldn't have put this up at the Hurricanes game the other night. The crowd was chanting Wolf and Pack at the Hurricanes game as they were beating Duke in the ACC tournament. It's great. It was great.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Here's a non-North Carolina sports comment from Roberto Clemente. Not that Roberto Clemente.
What? He's here?
Right. He says, looking forward to your product. I think he's talking about all the social media highlights you're going to cut up, Logan. His granddaughter is Sid Rodriguez on fire.
Oh, yeah.
3-point champion. Congratulations. That was such a cool moment for her, for sure.
Oh, yeah. No, it was awesome. Like, it really was. She was the best one out there. We also have a really fun clip of her. We played a game called Where in Idaho, where we took a little whiteboard and we drew the state of Idaho. And we grabbed Kennedy Kirk from Deary to start. And so we went and we started with Sid. And we're like, all right, Sid, on this map of Idaho, I want you to put a dot where Deary is. And she comes out, and I've got the video. I'll put them all together. But she like drew it like over in like Ashton or Driggs area over there. And Kennedy started laughing. She's like, no, I'm going to erase it. We're like, no, you can't do that. That's your final answer. That was a really fun game to play. Some of the guests, the kids had, it was really fun. Everybody had a lot of fun with it. Had really no clue where anybody was picking anything. It was great.
Yeah. So stay tuned to the idahosports.com Instagram account for all of that great content. Yeah. Multiple rounds of Where in Idaho was played. And basically Logan grabbed two athletes from two totally different parts of the state and then asked them to identify where their school was at on the map. And it was a lot of fun. Some very funny results. Speaking of results, the Holmdale baseball team, Logan, all they are doing is delivering results. They are 5-0 on the season, 1-0 in conference play. We'll get to the conference game they had last night in just a second. But first game of the year. It's a doubleheader with Filer. This was back last week or 2 weeks ago, Logan. Dylan Fine, who of course is committed to Utah to pitch in the, I guess, the Big 12 next year. Throws a no hitter right out of the gates in a 14-2 win, 5 innings, 13 walks or 13 strikeouts, 2 walks. Just incredible.
Yeah, no. And here's the thing. Holmdale baseball has just been right there, right, the last couple of years. And I'm excited to see what the Trojans can do this year. I mean, last year they played that epic game that went into extra innings. I believe it was Kimberly or Marsh. One of the semifinal games, it was 0-0. There's a lot of baseball that goes on at state, but it went into extra innings. I think they lost 1-0. There's like 13,000 Fine boys that play baseball. And so I get their names mixed up, but one of the Fines was pitching in that game and they just could, you know, the bats weren't there that day. It was a great pitcher's duel. But this is a team to watch out for. It seems like maybe the pieces are coming together for Holmdale. They played some games in Baker this weekend, Baker, Oregon. And I was in the gas station driving to the Allstate games in Coeur d'Alene. And I went in and there was a bunch of Holmdale gear. So I went over and said, hello. There's a crazy lady in the gas station. So we all had a nice little laugh at that moment, but it was fun. It was fun seeing them on the road. They picked up 2 wins over Baker on the road, and it should be fun to watch them as the season goes along there at Holmdale.
Yeah, so there's 3 Fines. There's Dylan Fine, there's Peyton Fine, and there's Carson Fine on the team this year. Peyton got the start against Baker City last week, Logan. The Baker Bulldogs. He pitched a complete game. 1 run allowed. It was unearned. He only allowed 2 hits. So Dylan Fine throws a no-hitter. Peyton Fine throws a 2-hitter. In the second game, then Peyton Fine at the plate, 3-for-4. A double, 5 RBIs, 3 runs scored. And then last night, Logan, Holmdale finally played their first conference game of the year. And of course, it was Fruitland right out of the gate. This is like Yankees and Red Sox, like right away.
Yeah. Let's start. Let's get it started there. Yeah.
And Dylan Fine comes out and gives up 1 hit, pitches a 5 2/3 innings masterpiece, 1 hit allowed, 10 strikeouts, 1 walk. Peyton Fine comes in to finish off the game. He pitches the final inning in 2/3 to get the save. He has a pair of strikeouts. Peyton threw 22 pitches last night, Logan. 18 of them were strikes. That is pinpoint control.
That's on the money.
And meanwhile, Fruitland pitched very well also, right? It was a 1-0 game. Holmdale got the run across on a safety squeeze. And for fans that aren't into baseball lingo, that is basically where there's a runner at third and the batter is at the plate and drops down a sacrifice bunt to try and get the runner from third home. Xavier Urenga laid down the safety squeeze. Dylan Fine came in to score. 1-0 win for Homedale. They're 5-0 overall. They're 1-0 in the conference. I can't wait for the rematch, Logan. It's going to come April 15th in Homedale. Can't wait.
Yeah, that's going to be, you know, great, right? You think this league is loaded, right? I mean, like I said, last year, Homedale fell in 8 innings to Marsh Valley 1-0 in the semifinals, and then they lost to Sugar Salem 11-10 in the third place game. So they were right there. Fruitland won the consolation trophy. So this is a league that was a couple of runs away from potentially being in or winning a state championship. I mean, Marsh Valley went on to win the state championship. What could have been for Homedale, right, if they had done that there? This is a Fruitland team that's super young, right? We saw them at state a couple of years ago as they made a run to the state championship. They ended up falling to Marsh Valley in that state championship. But, Brandon, how many freshmen played for Fruitland, you know, that year, 2 years ago, right? These are two teams that are just going to be right back in the thick of things again at the state tournament this year. I expect to see them right back in there playing for some trophies in a couple of weeks.
Yep, it's going to be really fun to watch. In other baseball, Logan, Bishop Kelly played CUNA last night in a non-conference game. It was tied 4-4 going into the seventh and final inning. And really, you know, CUNA had rallied. Bishop Kelly led 3-1, but CUNA scored 2 runs in the fifth, 1 run in the sixth to tie it up. We're tied at 4. BK gets the run in the bottom of the seventh to walk it off. A 5-4 win there for the Knights. Young sophomore, Cy Wong, he goes 2-for-3 with 2 doubles, 2 RBIs, and was kind of the big stick at the plate for Bishop Kelly in the win. The Knights are 4-2. They have a loss to Eagle and a loss to Minico. They also beat Minico. So again, in 4A baseball, it's Bishop Kelly and it's Columbia. Those two have been battling for years, yep. I feel like.
How about Columbia? They started off the season right now. They're 5-0, and all 5 of those wins are against 5A teams. I think that's a heck of a way to start your season, right? They have a big matchup tonight, Wednesday night, against Owyhee. Owyhee, of course, has gone back-to-back at the 5. Sorry, I've got a angry... four-year-old they can probably hear in the background. But how about that for them, right? Chance to be 6-0, right, coming into it. That would be awesome for Columbia.
Yeah, that would be awesome for sure. And you mentioned all playing some 5A teams. Middleton off to a 5-1 start in baseball action. Their lone loss came by a single run to Rocky Mountain, 3-2. Otherwise, they've beaten CUNA, they've beaten Skyview, and right now, Logan, they're at the Greenway Festival. This is hosted by Greenway High School in Phoenix, Arizona. Mm-hmm. They are playing a slew of Arizona teams, and so far they're 5-0 against the state of Arizona. They are 4-0. They've beaten Moon Valley, Kellis, Dysart, and Paradise Valley. They still have 3 more games coming up against Thunderbird, Cactus, and Agua Fria High School. Can they run the table and go 7-0? In Arizona.
That would be awesome. Again, we talked about this before. We're not sure like where do these teams compare, right, to what they're playing in the SIC or what, you know, other teams in the state of Idaho. But anytime you can go to another state, it's great for Idaho, I think, right? And you can show, we've seen it in basketball, right, where we've had teams go to tournaments and just run the table and dominate, and would love to see it again right here from Middleton if they can go down there and sweep it. I had some of the Middleton baseball players come knock on my door and ask for doing a raffle for something. I guess I didn't win. I entered the raffle, but it was some tough kids out there going door to door for that. But yeah, good luck to them down there for the final couple of games and bringing home for the state of Idaho.
Yeah, we'll see. I will say Arizona baseball, these kids have been playing baseball for months now, right? Because the weather down there is a little different. So just the fact that they've been able to get wins this early on in their season for Middleton, I think, is a pretty encouraging sign for sure. And then softball action, Logan, a highlight from last night, Weezer and Napa Christian met up in a non-conference affair. It was tied 6-6. It was actually tied 5-5 going into the bottom of the sixth Weezer gets a run across to take a 6-5 lead. Napa Christian answers in the seventh and final inning. Top of the seventh, they push a run across to send the game to extra innings, tied at 6-6. It went 9 innings, Logan. That is extra innings here in Idaho. It's regular for the big leagues, but 9 innings. Weezer gets a run across in the bottom of the ninth to win 7-6. Leading the way, it was really a balanced team effort. Trista Buescher, Jessica Waite, Mordhorst, and Jordan Campbell all finished with an RBI in the victory for Weezer. And for Napa Christian, they have an eighth grader playing on their team this year, Logan, just to have enough bodies. So Peyton Shook, who's a sophomore, drove in two, and then Miranda Van Vliet drove in two as well.
Wow. And that's a Mordhorst for Weezer. There was a Mordhorst that played for Fruitland a couple years ago, or maybe still plays for Fruitland. I wonder if they're not that far apart, and that's not that common a name. I'm sure there's some sort of relation there, but Weezer, I feel like in softball, has been right there, because the last 2 years I've done the 3A baseball tournament, which is always hosted by Weezer, and always the people in the booth are like trying to follow softball at the same time. Whether or not the baseball team is actually there, they're all like, all right, what's going on with the softball team? You know, trying to follow that, and they just seem to come up short. So maybe this will be the year for the Wolverines to punch it through.
Yeah, it's been Weezer and Homedale, I feel like, in softball the last several years. Homedale off to a 3-1 start. Weezer is 2-1. Their lone loss came to Coal Valley Christian, who is going to be very good, along with New Plymouth in the 2A softball ranks this year, Logan. And then finally, track and field note, just before we step out here, Logan, we've had some early season meets take place in the Treasure Valley. We also had our statewide track and field preview written by Marlo Herford. Hey, in the spring, Logan, Tuesdays are for track and field on idahosports.com. Marlo's going to check in every Tuesday kind of with her notebook, her track and field notebook of all the latest happenings from around the state. We started yesterday on Tuesday with a statewide preview. Already some pretty impressive performances on the boys' side. Jay Monroe of CUNA at the Rocky Mountain Grizzly Duel last week ran a 10.96 in the 100-meter dash. Going sub-11 this early in the season, Logan, always pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's always great when we can compete like that and put up numbers like that. I mean, obviously, Gatlin Bear had some sub-11s. He's a little bit different guy there. But, that's a great job there by CUNA and being able to get that done. And for him, and to start off early, right? You know, sometimes you see players, athletes, is that what you call track and field? But you see the athletes improve on those times as the year goes along. So it'll be interesting to watch that, right? You've already got that great time and how that will change as we come down the stretch.
And then I did want to give a shout out as well to one of the best throwers in the state, also from the Treasure Valley, Logan, Kai Twaddle Dunham from Centennial. He's already uncorked the throw of 186 feet, 11 inches in the discus. That is big league also.
Man, awesome. Again, so early in the season too. Excited to see where everything ends when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I was trying to look up last year the winning throw at the 5A state meet. I don't think I'm going to get it in time here, but oh, here we go. Official results. This is thrilling podcasting here.
Yeah,
discus. It is. Kai Twaddle Dunham's top throw last year, Logan, was 170 feet. So he's already beaten his state champion.
What was the new one?
186, 11. That's a PR for him.
So 186 was what he threw this year. And then what was the state champ throw last year?
So last year, Kai lost by 8 inches to James White of Lewiston, who's now playing football for the University of Idaho. He threw it last year, 170 feet. So he's already thrown it 16 feet further
year
in his first meet than he did at state last year.
So, and that would have beaten the state. That would have won state, right?
Yes.
That's awesome. Wow, that's an improvement right there. That's always fun to see, right? When you can literally, it's so easy for athletes in track and field and cross country, things like this, to see results, right? hey, all my hard work paid off. You know, sometimes in football or baseball, whatever, your hard work might be met by a pitcher who worked even harder, right? And the pitcher strikes you out, right? After all that work you put in the cage, or, you know, you're a quarterback and all the work you put in. Well, that defensive line on the opposite side was a lot better and they kept putting me on my back. There was nothing I could do. But in a sport like that, where it is you, right? And you just not only beat your record from last year, but beat the state championship throw. I think you can look at that and say, man, look how far I've come. And so that's awesome. That must be a great feeling. That's awesome.
Yep. Pretty spectacular, for sure. So, way to go. And again, we'll keep an eye on the track and field leaderboard as the season progresses and all the latest spring sports happenings. If there's a big story going on in the Treasure Valley, we do have some golf action. We've got tennis as well. If there's something you want us to talk about on the PrepCast, all you have to do is email either one of us, Brandon@IdahoSports.com or Logan@IdahoSports.com. We'd love to get those Treasure Valley District 3 stories out there.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. And again, it's just sometimes they're so hard to find. And, you know, we do try to keep on top of it as much as possible. But if you've got one that needs to be told, a story that needs to come to light, like Brandon said, just pass it along. We'd love to discuss it.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, we're back in the saddle. Spring sports off and running. Logan, of course, this week, two big spring break tournaments. The Bucks Bags tournament, of course, taking place.
Yep.
Boise, Bora, Capital, Timberline. It's hosted by, you know, six different schools. There's going to be over 40 teams. And then there's a second spring break tournament hosted by Rocky Mountain. And that's kind of like an exclusive 5A only. You know, it's like Lewiston and Highland and Rocky Mountain and Owyhee. And that'll be a fun tournament as well. And then yeah, the annual WTP, the Win the Pitch Spring Break Classic for softball. So this is the weekend. If you're a baseball, yeah, softball fan, there's going to be plenty of teams, in the Treasure Valley competing this weekend.
Yeah. Hopefully the weather stays like it is. Cause man, it is awesome. I think it's sunny and 70 today. Hopefully, I think it's supposed to roughly be the same. Anybody that's playing baseball this week or softball, track, whatever it is, or if you're on spring break, it's a great week. It's a great week for sports in Idaho.
Yep, for sure. All right.
And a great week for NC State to go to the Sweet 16. Oh, I had to throw that in there.
We'll find out. March Madness starts tomorrow, of course. I almost said right here on IdahoSports.com, but that is not.
I wish. That would be awesome.
Oh, that is not
Maybe
happening.
Maybe we'll get called up to the big leagues one day, Brandon.
Right. For sure. Okay. Well, thanks for tuning into the Treasure Valley PrepCast, everybody. Enjoy the competition this week/weekend. For Logan Green, I'm Brandon Bainey, and we will see you next time on IdahoSports.com.